Welcome, everyone, to Parkside Today. I'm John Melke, and I'm joined by the director of the Small Business Development Center office here on the UW Parkside campus, Jim McFall. Jim, welcome to Parkside Today.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
So the big question, what is the Small Business Development Center?
That's a good question, and I get it a lot.
We start the program out with a good question. That's a good sign.
Well, our acronym is SBDC, the Small Business Development Center, and it's a state-funded and Small Business Administration-funded organization that our mission is to help entrepreneurs start successful, sustainable businesses and also to help small companies grow and create new jobs in the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 13 offices, of course, Kenosha here at Parkside being one of them. We have offices at all of the state schools. And then there are two satellite offices or outreach offices, as we call them, near Waukesha and up in the northern part of the state.
Mm-hmm. And because Parkside is here, or excuse me, SBDC office is here at UW Parkside, mm-hmm. and as you mentioned, around the state, a number of the offices are affiliated with UW institutions, whether they be right on the campus or just off the campus. Where's the value to both the UW institution and the SBDC office to that UW alignment?
Good question. I think that the biggest value there is to have the opportunity for students to be involved as workers at the SBDC and gain some practical experience and have a chance to partake in the consulting that we do with them, the analysis that we help them with, the business plan writing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it gives the business owners a chance to interact with the students because there's a lot of great energy and a lot of new ideas from that standpoint, too.
Mm-hmm. And how much is there sharing of information or ideas or tactics or strategies between the different SBDC offices around the state?
There are. We're separated into regions. I'm part of the southeastern region, along with University of Wisconsin-Whitewater and University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. We collaborate quite often on different problems that we're having, different situations we run across where maybe Kevin out in Whitewater could help me with, or Tim, mm-hmm. Tim up in Milwaukee might be able to help me with. Yeah, it happens a lot. And occasionally, in fact, we just got a email from Melissa Meschke up in Stevens Point asking a specific question that she needed help with. She's one of the newer directors here
mm-hmm.
In the system. So, yeah, it happens quite often.
Tell us a little bit about your background. You were in the banking industry mm-hmm. Here in southeastern Wisconsin. How does Jim McFall in the banking industry become Jim McFall, not only Small Business Development Director, but also an instructor here at UW Parkside in the business department?
Sure. I started teaching here at Parkside in 2007 after receiving my MBA here at Parkside. I was asked to come and teach an introductory marketing class. And I started doing that. Prior to that, while I was in banking, I taught different courses in the banking system for the American Bankers Association mm-hmm. at different locations around southeastern Wisconsin, classes like analyzing financial statements, principles of banking, those types of things. And I realized at that time I really enjoyed teaching, and mm-hmm. it was something that, you know, maybe I could consider as an exit strategy going forward. So mm-hmm. I was lucky enough to get the position here at Parkside. I spent over 30 years in the banking industry. My most recent position, I was senior vice president at Bank of Kenosha, and that was a challenge. I mean, we had our challenges as far as raising capital, and I learned a lot about the industry,
mm-hmm.
about just analytics and a lot of different things. But I was lucky enough to, when Matt Wagner announced his retirement, he was moving on mm-hmm. from the SBDC. I went to Fred Ebide at that time, was the dean of the School of Business, and convinced him that I should be the interim director, and that worked out really well for me.
Good.
I told my wife, Cheryl, that you might not see me until the weekends, that I'd be working, you know, at the bank and also at the SBDC.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt that it was a good way to transition into the position as I am in now.
Mm-hmm. And so much of a new business venture, certainly there's an idea for a product or a service.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the financial side of how do you have the necessary capital to not only get off the ground, but to maybe sustain for the amount of time that you would need in order for the product or service to start generating some revenue. How did your experience in the banking industry maybe help some new business people who are interested in starting a new business and some of those banking principles? You'd think that that would be a value for those folks to have your experience.
Oh, it definitely was. The number one reason new businesses fail is because they run out of money. And in banking, we call it cash flow. It's strictly a matter of, are you going to be able to open your doors and sustain your bills over the period of time until you become profitable?
Mm-hmm.
Just because you open your doors doesn't mean you're going to have customers or be able to sell your product. So it's something we really talk to people a lot. You know, John, I'll tell you a story. There was a young man that was opening a coffee shop in the Third Ward up in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought us in his financial statements, and we did a quick calculation, and we told him, do you realize that in your first week that you're open, you're going to have to sell 4,300 cups of coffee? And he looked at us and said, really? So it's just really, it's a matter of educating the client on, you know, what cash flow is really about,
mm-hmm.
and how to manage it.
Mm-hmm. And when you get into the business plans that you're helping new business owners, entrepreneurs write, is that kind of the foundation of the plan? It's based in the financing?
It is. The first step really in the business plan is it a feasible idea? Is it mm-hmm. going to make money? Is there a market for it? Are people willing to pay money for it? And how are you going to get them to switch from the current brand or the current product that they're using now? What's your competitive advantage?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's sort of the underlying theme of a business plan. And it talks about all those different segments on how you're going to market, who your customer is, you know, why are you different, that type of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the students who, you have a number of UW Parkside students who have worked with you in the SBDC, are currently working with you. What's the value not only for them as students here at Parkside, but also for the SBDC clients to have that student connection?
The value to the students to work in the SBDC is multifold. They get a chance to meet many of the individuals that the chancellor brings to the university on tour.
Mm-hmm.
She proudly shows the SBDC and the Innovation Corridor, the App Factory, the Makerspace. And, of course, we're part of that. And they get a chance to meet politicians, chancellors from other universities, all sorts of presidents and CEOs. And it's very, very relevant to them. The value to the student is they also get a chance to put these types of things on their resume.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the students that have come through the SBDC are working as credit analysts. They're working as graphic designers in Milwaukee and Chicago. They're working at Jockey. I mean, they're getting very, very valuable positions right out of school.
Mm-hmm.
The value really to the client is they get the most relevant, up-to-date information that regarding marketing and social media and how millennials connect and what their purchase power is and how they look for products, and really gives us a whole different retrospect compared to, you know, what I have or what you might have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which it might be outdated sometimes, so it's very valuable to the client.
It's one of the things we were talking about today as we're getting ready. This show will air after the Smart Future Summit coming up here at Parkside in just a couple of days, but talking with a couple students, Parkside students, who are going to help us as table facilitators. And I said, for the Smart Future, the Smart Cities initiative, it really is something that is those students who are getting ready to enter the workforce, who are getting ready to start their professional career, they're going to be the ones who are going to really benefit and have to make decisions about the smart future, smart city going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So you have students who are here in at Parkside working in the SBDC. Maybe they have some entrepreneurial vision themselves, but they certainly get an opportunity to see what it takes to to create a successful business and how to get a successful business off the ground.
Yeah, they learn a lot, not only just from sitting in on consulting sessions, but listening to and sometimes doing the analysis, financial analysis of a client's financial statements, income statement, balance sheet. And they learn a lot. They learn a real lot.
So how does someone in the community who maybe has a business idea or an idea for a plan, how do they connect with the SBDC?
I would say the majority of our clients find out about us just searching online through the SBA. How do I start a business? Mm-hmm. And the SBA site will come up, and it'll give all the SBDC locations, and then they can contact us that way. Many clients we will meet with one-on-one right out of the box. Some clients we refer them to an online 2-hour business class that sort of tells them a little bit of information on what they need to do to start a business, or just gives them a little bit of a baseline. And then if they're ready to go, we'd be happy to meet with them.
Mm-hmm. And how do you determine where that kind of dividing line is when someone comes to you and they have an idea and you say, well, we're going to have you take a look at this online business course over here, or we're going to meet? What are the things that you, as director of the SBDC, look for?
Well, let's see. That's a tough question. It's always difficult to gauge someone's financial prowess or their net worth or things like that without asking them specific pointed questions. So what we normally do is we try to give everyone the opportunity to fill out what we call the electronic request for consulting, which is an online form that we send to them right out of the box. Once they complete that, we contact them back again and we'll set up a one-on-one appointment. People that aren't able to open the emails, or they don't get back to us, or they call us again on the phone, and that's someone that maybe might need to have a little bit more technical expertise before they really begin to start a business. We have had a number of folks that want to start a business, but if you're going to borrow $200,000 or $300,000, you have to have a little skin in the game too.
Right.
And we ask those questions. You know, we ask, you know, what kind of down payment would you be willing to take? What would be your what would be the amount of money that you'd be putting into the project? When someone comes to us and they're specifically asking us for a grant to start a business, that's sort of a red flag that says they might not have any resources to put in themselves. So depending on the size of the project, we sort of direct them accordingly.
Or may not have the resources to be sustainable for the amount of time that it's going to take in order for that product or service to really take off or take hold.
Correct. Well, there's a lot of different ways you can also fund that too. If you're buying a business or renting a location, a lot of times we'll suggest a line of credit to support that cash flow in the first 6 months until you're generating enough money to break even and that sort of thing. We deal a lot with Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation, or WIBIC is their acronym, and they do a fantastic job of lending to startups and making sure that they have enough funding to sustain initially.
Right. Yeah. What you're dealing with small businesses. We're in an area of the state that has been called maybe not only the hottest growing area of the state, but of the Midwest and maybe the nation, given some of the economic development, whether it be Amazon, Haribo, Uline, Foxconn, a number of places. What's the kind of the mindset of the small business owner, the person who's interested in maybe getting into a small business in an area that right now has a lot of focus on larger businesses, larger enterprises?
I think the entrepreneur that's going to be successful can see the market share that's going to be available as a result of those big box companies and the amount of people that are going to be coming into the area. They all need to be entertained. They all need to be clothed. They all need to have recreational activities. And, you know, that's not all chain type of stuff. There's a lot of crafts. There's a lot of specialty items that people are looking for now more than ever. And they can take advantage of those types of things. Fresh food, you know, personalized services, whatever it might be. So I think that's what they're looking for. If I look back to 2018, or actually 2017, I met with probably 152 clients. If I annualize year-to-date the number of clients that I'm going to meet with this year, it's going to be somewhere in the area of 245.
Wow.
So, I mean, I'm meeting with a lot more clients. There's a lot more clients that have resources available that are partnering with other organizations that are, you know, starting unique, sustainable businesses. You're going to see a lot of great new things around this area.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fantastic.
And the number of clients, what does that translate to or mean in terms of capital invested in the area or jobs in the area? Do you have ideas on what that generates?
In 2017, we were successful helping start 13 new businesses on 150 clients. So if we bump that up to 250, it's probably going to be 20 new businesses. Probably investing somewhere in the area of $5 million to $6 million in capital in the local economy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just initially. That's not ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's definitely a value.
So I want to shift gears a little bit.
Sure.
Talked about the SBDC. I'd like to talk about Jim McFaul as UW Parkside business instructor.
Oh, okay.
And you've been involved with some of the sales competitions.
Oh, absolutely.
That Parkside students have done very well at. Tell me a little bit about how you got. Did Peter Knight like put you in a corner and say you're going to help me, or how did that come about?
Fairly close. No, I mean when I met Dr. Knight again, it was 2007, and he started the sales program at that time by himself, and I really wanted to become part of it, so I did in 2008, and. It's just grown exponentially. It's just incredible how that program has grown and become successful. I mean, already the classes are full for fall, and up to 40. Where each semester, each year it's doubled, and it's just incredible. The amount of talent that companies are looking for. I'm sorry, the amount of companies that are looking for talent
are knocking
at our door is just unbelievable.
And the sales experience, for a graduate to go into the marketplace and be able to demonstrate or at least show on paper that I've been through a sales curriculum, I've participated in possibly in a national competition, that's got to give them a real boost over some of their graduate competitors.
It absolutely does. In fact, what people don't understand is any business graduate, 60% of any business graduate, their first position is going to be some sort of sales-related position. It might not be called sales, but there will be a sales aspect to it. If you have that, you have a sales certificate on your resume, or that you've competed in a sales competition, I'll guarantee you that's going to be the first thing that the employer is going to ask you about when you go to your interview. In fact, I've been told that by many of the sales students.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you're the sales competitions that you've been involved with here at Parkside, what have you learned over that time period? Maybe the first time you went to one of the competitions with students versus getting ready to do something in 2018 or 2019. What's different?
It's all about building up their confidence and knowing what the process is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sales process is exactly that. It's a process, and you need to know what questions they ask, when they ask them, and what triggers you use to decide which way to go. You know, the old myth of hardline sales is long gone. You want to be a partner in selling something. You want to be able to provide something that someone needs when they need it and have it be, you know, sustainable. You don't want to be able to offer something to someone that they don't need. And the whole key to the sales process is finding out what they need. A lot of times people don't want to really tell you what they need, or they don't know and they feel embarrassed about it. But I think the students that go through our sales program and the ones that do compete in the five competitions that we go to, it changes their lives. It really does change their lives.
Mm-hmm. What's one of your favorite memories from from the sales competitions that you've been involved with and attended?
We've had two students over the last 10 years that have been flown out to San Jose the day after the competition ended for interviews.
Mm-hmm.
One was probably our most successful competitor, a gentleman by the name of Kyle Hagman, who did land the position with Johnson & Johnson. And a year later, had a regional position in Chicago.
Mm.
The other gentleman, Mike Anderson, went to San Jose, did not get the position, but was successful in moving back to his hometown with a different position in St. Louis. Michael was also a very talented baseball player here at Parkside.
Mm-hmm. And as an instructor in the business department, knowing that you're working with students who someday, maybe depending on whether you're working with underclassmen or those getting ready to graduate, are going to be in the marketplace, what sort of questions do they have when it comes to the experience or the talent that they're going to need in order to be successful?
Boy, those questions are all over the board. Yeah. I mean, the thing that I can really stress more than anything is to one thing I spend a lot of time on in my class, in the class is called Selling Financial Services. It's a middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Is really an elevator pitch on how to be able to sell yourself within 1 minute, and also how to be able to relate to someone else, how to recognize their communication style, how to communicate with a negotiator, for example, or someone that is very, very stressed out and just unsure. Because, you know, when it comes down to finances or money, people don't want to tell you what they have. I mean, it's either embarrassing or they don't want to feel that they're being leveraged. Or you have to be able to develop trust within a minute,
right?
And in order to really be successful,
yeah,
it's not always easy,
right? You're dealing with two, I'll say, fairly different communities in Racine and Kenosha. What do you see as some of the similarities? What do you see as some of the differences between entrepreneurs, the new business person coming from either community? Maybe there isn't a difference. Maybe they're all the same.
You know, I do not really see a lot of big differences. I really don't. I mean, I couldn't tell you if someone was from Kenosha or Racine, depending on how they, you know, reacted. I really couldn't tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's a big demand in both cities for small businesses. The Kenosha market, the Kenosha Harbor market, is a great, great launching pad for small businesses. I mean, I've had probably 15 of my clients start there and move on to either brick and mortar or, you know, mobile trucks or online stores, whatever the case might be. Racine, I'd love to see something like that in Racine. However, what Racine has that Kenosha doesn't have is a commercial kitchen, where if you're baking or if you're producing a food product, it has to be manufactured in a commercial kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And a few of my Kenosha clients actually go up to Racine because there's not a commercial kitchen here in Kenosha.
Mm.
So they complement each other from that standpoint.
And as the younger person that's coming to you, the person who's getting ready to thinking about starting the business, do you see them looking at this area a little bit more regionally than a particular, this city or that city or this community or that community?
That's a great comment, because that's actually very true. With all the new big employers that are coming to town, like you mentioned, Uline, Haribo, Amazon, Foxconn, it's just not one. It's one area now. It's just not two cities.
Mm-hmm.
It's southeastern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're just a few weeks away from the start of the 50th year of Parkside offering University of Wisconsin higher education opportunities here in southeastern Wisconsin. What does the coming academic year look like for Jim McFall?
In fall, I'm teaching a new class called Experiencing Business, which is an opportunity for undeclared sophomores or freshmen to experience business. And we've partnered with Johnson Financial Group and Leeward Business Advisors to go out and do those types of things, to experience what it's like to approve a $1 million loan or or sit in a personal banker's chair in a retail location, or analyze someone's computing expertise and recommend some sort of cloud computing structure. So they get a chance to really figure out what they like about business or what they might not like about business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also teaching marketing principles.
Okay. Do you see more students today than possibly when you started as an instructor here that are interested in the entrepreneurial aspect of business or starting their own company versus saying, oh, okay, I'm working toward my business degree and there is a company out there that I'm going to work for?
I think there's a lot more people that are interested in entrepreneurship, even if it's on the side. Many of my students, I'll teach entrepreneurial principles in the spring. You know, I've had a couple people go with online businesses reselling jewelry or selling a lot of different things. You know, and they do it very successfully. I think the biggest success story from that standpoint was a gentleman who was also on the baseball team, a gentleman by the name of Jacob Chandler from the North Shore down in Chicago. And he injured himself, so he was no longer able to pitch. But he had he started a T-shirt company called Arrow Athletics.
Yeah,
Have you heard this?
I know, remember seeing the story in the news.
Just a fantastic. He had one of his friends knew one of the Blackhawk players who wore one of his T-shirts and tweeted it out, and Jacob got something like 6,000 orders on his website and had to shut down. It was just him and his girlfriend. But 2 years later, I'm on my Nordic track in the morning, and I'm looking at the television, and I see Jacob and another gentleman that they're interviewing him for this new shirt that he designed. It was a navy blue shirt with the white oversized framed glasses and with the saying, "Try not to suck." And it just launched him into outer space with his business. So he's doing really, really well.
Right. Yeah, so there's...
You never know.
You never know. And there certainly are an awful lot of success stories, whether it be graduates from business, from science, from the arts. At Parkside, there's always a story of someone that's doing some pretty incredible things out there.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I want to thank you for taking time today to be with us on Parkside today. Maybe you can come back later this fall and talk about some of the other the new small business projects you've got coming up through the SBDC. And good luck with your classes and the sales competitions coming up this year.
Thank you, John. I'd absolutely enjoy that.